Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
If you live in the area and you shop in the area and you're a teenager, we would like to apologize because there's a local grocery store that Chemda was in. God. And she said, excuse me, clerk. I don't drink, but I do happen to notice that you sell chocolate booze for $1. And I said, do you know that there's alcohol in these? And they said, no, there's not. And I said, please look at the back of the bottle. All okay. We have is our youth.
Very good.
Right? You took away a lot of people's fun.
Come on. First of all.
You said, I think some people are trying to enjoy their lives out there. Can we stop that real quick?
I was just, and I didn't consider that, but I was in the supermarket, and at the counter, they had an entire display with a bunch of chocolates that are obviously filled with liquor. And that they were selling for $1 because I sincerely know that these people don't know that there's liquor in it because I don't even think they have a liquor license.
Right.
You know, it's just
a You couldn't in New York City anyway.
Yeah, they can't get a liquor license. They can't sell liquor. And there they are with these things. And I recognize them. You want to hear from why?
Yeah.
We had them at Bar and Bat Mitzvahs.
Okay.
And that's what I recognize. I'm like, oh, this has alcohol in it. And you're going to hate me even more. What I used to do at Bar and Bat Mitzvahs is dump the alcohol out and eat the chocolate. Oh, my God.
Maybe you're hoping the clerk says that. Do the kids do that? Like, what? I don't know.
But I said, hey, these have alcohol in it, right? And right. She just going like, wow, you know? And she's like, no, they don't. And I was like, wow, that's a big problem to not know that you don't have alcohol ready at the counter. And then it was $1. But the ironic part is I had one, and liquor and chocolate is really good.
Did you come back and go, listen, I made a mistake. These are good. You know what? Kendrick said, you're only selling these for $1. You don't know there's liquor in them. And Kendrick goes, you know what? I'll take one. And they go, okay, $6, please.
I should have taken the whole thing. What am I talking about?
Now, let's say, you know, honestly, I wouldn't have said anything if there were needles selling up front for a quarter each.
I wasn't trying to narc. I was really just going, alcohol already. Right. Like, it didn't occur to me that I am being a fucking, you know, neighborhood narc.
They have to know. When the kids are giggling buying chocolate. Kids are giggling buying chocolate. You ever see kids buy whipped cream? They're so happy about this cake that apparently they have the mix at home and forgot the whipped cream.
Yeah, so I'm the asshole neighbor. Well, I apologize.
And is making a difference. I think that's the poll. Would you say if you found out?
No, for the record, if I was like...
No, there's a lot of bitches out there.
Oh, my God.
That do things that have nothing to do with them. Chemda won't have kids. The irony. But she'll tell you how to raise yours.
I was really not trying to be like, save the kids. I was just surprised. Really, I'm saving their supermarket because I don't even know...
Why don't you go to the deli and go, why don't you put plastic on this shit?
The deli that sells like the... So do you know that those rose things, I think we might have talked about it, the rose things at bodegas are actually crack pipes? Did you know that?
The rose?
You ever see that they sell this weird rose? It's just a rose.
Oh, no.
It's a crack pipe.
Oh, really?
I should narc on that.
Do you let them know? No, you're at grocery store level. You know the difference. There's not air conditioning. Henda doesn't bother. She knows that's for shady stuff.
Wow.
Yes. All right.
Anyway, I apologize.
Well, hey, poll's complete.
I had the final fun in Astoria today.
Luke writes, I just got a lifetime Keith and the Girl VIP membership to Keith and the Girl because 15 years of every single show ever. Yeah, I'm probably sticking with this. Check out the funniest podcast and podcast network if you go behind the paywall with VIP. And he puts a link. So thank you very much.
That's such a big deal. A lifetime membership. Thank you so much.
Chemda just recorded a What's My Name with Rachel Green and Andrea Allen about Burning Man. Andrea, of course, came back.
She just got back. I wanted to get her fresh off.
Did you see those pictures, first of all? I just saw the pictures, so I didn't know the stories. But this is Madam Max out there. These big, you know, I don't know, motorcycle riding glasses, spikes coming out the neck. And then I know she on that show, she talks about an old woman orgy. So I assume half these people are dead from all the spikes. Everybody loves spikes.
She went to, what was it called? Strap-on-a-thon.
A strap-on-a-thon, yeah.
Yeah, there was a whole bin full of strap-ons that you could just like grab at.
Uh-huh.
And she's now the king of sex.
Yeah, and free chlamydia.
The king of fucking. Sorry, Andrea.
Is the dildos
king
in
of
the,
fuck.
Are the dildos in a vat of alcohol?
There's a lot of safe stuff. There's a lot of condoms, lubes, finger condoms. Yeah.
So, but if you want to take from the not safe bin, you can, right?
And they found a corpse. So it's a good what's my name.
All right. Well, yeah. I told you, I wasn't joking about these spike collars. They're going to hurt somebody. Let's. So what's my name? Last week on Keith and the Girl, of course, is the sixth Keith and the Girl episode. We talked about the guest behind the scenes. We'll be recording one of the last 2 weeks today.
I am always nervous to say on the show when we have a guest that we have a wrap-up show because I'm like, you know, to the comic, I'm like, not you. You right. You don't subscribe to this because we'll be talking about you at the end of the week and telling you how we really feel. But everybody else, today we feel very comfortable because of who our guest is. And
she's the host, so she probably won't rat on herself. VIP, of course, is available at keithandthegirl.com/VIP. Use the coupon code DAD, D-A-D, and you'll get to try it out for free. See what we're talking about. We're just not trying to make you feel bad. We want you to experience it. The code will expire at the end of this month. So keithandthegirl.com/VIP, coupon code DAD. Here she is, featured on the Hot Mess Comedy Hour, host of Whitey Puzzleman's Crossword Hour, host of last week on Keith and the Girl, the bane of every guest's existence, and the joy of every listener around, Bianca Brady.
Main feed.
How you doing?
What's up, guys?
A lot to talk about, by the way, coincidentally. Like, you're here, you're always a joy, but a lot of news.
Gosh, there's so much to get through.
So everybody's going to know, hey, what is this Bianca? What is her personality? What are her thoughts on political issues, social issues?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. You excited?
Keith is like, let's invite Bianca on to torture her with one of my classic bummer news episodes.
Well, how are you doing first off in life in general?
Great. Fantastic.
Okay. There we go. We got to the Bianca segment. Sure. She really does move briskly along, right?
He's in control of this one, yes. Guys. Once you get behind the paywall, that's my turf.
She's got the whip for that.
Felicity Huffman got 14 days in prison.
A fortnight.
Mm-hmm. For the college admission scandal. 14 days.
14 days for scamming. This is white-collar crime, right?
Yes.
Can we call it something pretty like white-collar crime?
It's the largest college admission scam ever. She's the very first person prosecuted because she pled guilty and threw herself at the mercy of the court. With that said, they recommended a month, and she said, but that's too much, and was able to somehow get 14 days. With that said, she's the only one that immediately, at least publicly, immediately said, I'm guilty. I'm so sorry.
But it's not that. It's not just that. Like, I get it. You're guilty. You're sorry. That's a good plea bargain, right?
Right.
But it wasn't just you're trying to get your daughter into school. There was an entire new fundraiser. There was like a fake, what did they put together so that they're funneling money into this, into a company that doesn't exist in order for them to get their kids into college. It's such a big crime to me. Like, you have people in jail over a joint fucking marijuana, you know, like people just getting into a physical fight on a Saturday night. You got people in there for way longer than this.
Well, I'm reading about a woman. She's convicted of casting a provisional ballot in 2016 when she was on supervised release for a 2011 tax fraud conviction. So this woman's in jail. She's allowed on release. She voted. And so she got 5 years for doing that. And she's like, and Felicity Huffman got 14 months?
Oh, this is such bullshit. If this doesn't scream bullshit to you, you're probably still sleeping.
Right.
Yeah, wake up, sheeple.
Hello.
Everyone go to jail forever. That's Hemda's stance.
You know really what get you did. Me. Now put yourself in jail. Sign yourself out when you think it's right. You're probably giving yourself
you're
a
wrong.
Deal.
You're wrong.
Right.
You should stay in there forever.
I guess I said 14 months, 14 days, of course. Felicity Huffman, 14 days.
Yeah, a fortnight.
Yeah.
That's nothing. Is that really what a fortnight means?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Here's the thing about Felicity, though.
Mm-hmm. She's a good actress. We need her.
There's
a lot of shit out there.
She worked it in the court. She did, like, I think she did the best she could, like, from a PR standpoint, where she was in the courtroom going, like, I fucked up. Like, I'm so sorry.
Does PR stand for price raising? Ironically, money got her out of this too.
Right.
Well, I think she knew how to work it where she's like, you know, she feels she allegedly feels bad, or she seems right. like she feels bad. So that makes her seem a little bit less evil.
Well, but this that still
is money, because that is a high paying team telling you exactly what to say and how to behave. What? She knows how to act. These are the words they gave
her. So, Keith, what yes. would you recommend for her punishment? Death?
Yeah, usually. Sure. Yeah, if we're talking about a great, wonderful world, yes. But I hear your tone, so what's the point? But Lori Loughlin,
I'm just asking.
Yes, yes. You
should instead of a fortnight.
You should be put to death. But, you know, a year would be pleasurable to me. Sure.
1 year.
1 year.
Of death.
1 year. And to celebrities, that's like 5 years. Let's be honest, right?
That's true.
Shouldn't be a difference, but there is.
So, well, they work year. 3 months at a time, so that's considered a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They call seasons years. Give her a season.
Yeah.
But a 26 episode season. You know what I mean? That's called a 3-camera sentence. And then this is what I was going to say. Lori Loughlin, I guarantee whenever Felicity Huffman said, "I'm guilty," Lori was like, "You could have fucking called me. I wouldn't have said I'm not guilty." Now she's going to have to get a lot more time than Felicity out
you
of principle.
So?
I do think so. Even if it's a month, it's got to be more than 14 days.
You think principle has to do with any of this shit?
Yes. It's all a game. You don't make the system look stupid. And if the system is willing to give somebody that says not guilty 14 days, that says guilty 14 days, then somebody that says not guilty and we caught you has to get more.
Well, can I just tell you, a month and 14 days would be no difference to me. I understand, like, being in jail, you'd feel a difference, but this is still the same crime and it's still a bullshit sentence. That's not a real sentence. 14 days? When was the last time people got 14 days for something that was this big? It's huge. It's a scandal.
They gave Lori Loughlin 15 days.
Right.
She's like, wait a second. That's odd. Yeah, I wonder if it's too late for Lori to go, yeah, I thought about it, and guilty's the right answer.
Yeah, for Felicity, 14 days. For Lori, death.
Death. Just admit it. We caught you. Admit it. Mike Sorrentino from the Jersey Shore. The situation. Well, the sitch is free. He was in jail for tax evasion.
8 months, right?
8 months. And now he's out. And he can go to the gym, do his laundry the way he wants. Get a tan.
Do you think that he was on laundry duty in jail the whole time? Because he's like, guys, come on.
I hope they didn't give it to him. Because that's what you want. You don't get what you want. You don't put Emeril Lagasse, he goes to jail, and you put him in the kitchen.
Honestly, though, if you think about it, pretty much all you do in jail is gym, tan, laundry.
Yeah. Right.
So he was always in jail. He's always been there.
Do you think this is fair, where he got 8 months and she got 14 days? You don't think that's scamming the system, the same system?
Right.
You don't think that's tax evasion when you're starting a company? And I know she didn't start the company, but she knew exactly what that company was for. And that was, what do you call it, when you don't pay tax, well, you pay less tax.
Well, I guarantee that Felicity Huffman, I assume, can carry herself, even if lawyers are doing the work, can carry herself better than the situation, who, upon being released from jail, tweeted out, "Turn up, we free." I think Felicity Huffman is going to act a little humble. My point being, that's their character. He couldn't get less than 8 months if he tried, because he's like, "I want some jungle juice. I'll make some vodka drinks for you." It's like, no, you have to go to jail, the sitch.
Totally. Right.
Hey, what'd I do? Oh, that's one thing you can't say. You definitely have to go to jail now.
Yeah, but that does prove that, you know, the money and you can fake the system.
Sure.
He's not an actor. She is.
Right. But when you're on one of these TV shows, reality shows, don't think you can get away from your taxes. You're on the show.
A lot of people do that, though. I think it's the same thing as Felicity, you know?
Yeah.
Just looking around being like, a lot of people do this, so it's probably fine.
I guess.
And then, you know, 14 days later.
Right.
She really learned a lesson.
One fortnight.
Oh, my. I read that somebody wrote, I bet she's going to learn the same amount in jail for 14 days than her daughter will in prison, than her daughter will in school for 4 years. That makes sense.
The saddest part was her daughter didn't know about it until the whole thing broke. And her daughter was like, "You really just didn't believe in me. You really didn't think I could go to college. That's so rude."
Also,
Mom.
I didn't want college, Mom.
Also, I'm an idiot. And you were right. But at the same time, it's like, come on.
I don't know why you got me into rowing. I never rode a boat in my life, but anyway.
That's true. Like, she wasn't helping her daughter get to where she wanted to go. She was helping herself figure out some shit that no one was interested in.
I wonder if that's with these celebrities. They meet each other at dinner and, you know, most people, they talk about how their kids are doing. You think those celebrities, they talk about, or the rich people, they talk about what they did for their kids illegally.
I think so.
You know?
I think the real winners in this situation are the non-famous participants in the scam, because there's like, you know, dozens of parents who are implicated, but we're only talking about Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin because they've been on TV.
Right.
What about, you know, some...
John Rogers.
Yeah, what about him?
Hello.
Yeah, but
I don't know any of the other ones.
Yeah, those other people will probably get a bigger sentence because don't have... Well, no, they have money also, so who gives a shit?
I don't announce the names of the bad people. I think about the victims. These are the following kids that could not get into school on their own merit.
These are the dumbasses of our future.
Right. Hey, speaking of which, Saturday Night Live is coming on the air.
Wait, what's that?
It's September 28th is when it begins. It's a weekly comedy show.
It's on TV?
It's on television. It's late.
But it's live?
But it's live. And Woody Harrelson will be the first guest. And
who's he again?
He's in many movies and whatnot, always plays himself.
Okay. Wait, can you start at the beginning?
Can you imagine the last week of this? You're in so much trouble.
I'm just fucking with Keith now. I'm sorry, audience. Let him get to the news.
They've announced three new cast members. Bowen Yang.
Yes.
We know him. Chloe Fineman and Shane Gillis.
Ooh, tough one.
So it's supposed to be, you know, the greatest day of these three people's lives, of course. And Bowen Yang, you could hear on our show, keithandthegirl.com/Bowen Yang. I know at least one of the two shows he was on is a YouTube thing. You can see him. Great, very funny guy. Asian, first Asian, right? In history on SNL.
Oh, good job, SNL. You found an Asian funny guy.
Right.
Wow. First one, huh?
Well, then, you know, we mentioned the other guy that was hired, Shane Gillis. And why Bianca is going, ooh, is because a lot of information now is popping up. And I want to be very clear when I say this. Not his past. You know, this cancel culture people are talking about.
I mean, if you really think about it, it's like everything is the past. Like right now, what I just said, that's the frigging past, Keith.
Right. Well, this is pretty much his recent. And he's apparently very homophobic. Whether he's making jokes or not, they're homophobic. They're racist. Here's Shane on his podcast, end of last year.
Damn, Chinatown's fucking nuts.
That's crazy.
It is full fucking China. Dude, it's a fucking Chinese down there.
I wonder how that started. They just built one fucked up looking building and people were like, all right, no one said anything.
Let's fucking chinks live there, huh?
Well, they built these fucking like huge Shanghai houses. The first one must have infuriated everyone.
I'm like, I'm pissed now. I go down there, I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Get these
guns. First of all, so there's more that I'll play.
Where? But Chinatown, New York?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I assume so because the podcast he does here in New York.
The audio quality is so offensive.
Thank you.
Keith.
That's what bothered me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I guess SNL does their own audio. It's not a big deal. But then I heard more and it gets bad.
What the fuck is their point?
So SNL.
They went to Chinatown and were surprised to see Chinese people?
They don't get it. Okay. So they're everywhere though. Okay. Yeah, it's a
the
town.
The buildings there. That's all I got. I'm like, Chinatown, some buildings.
Is this
also.
China Planet? They're everywhere. So SNL hires Bowen Yang and then they go, okay, but you know, for the other point of view, let's get this guy.
Damn, Chinatown's fucking nuts.
It's crazy.
It is full fucking China.
So crazy.
It's fucking Chinese down there.
I wonder how that started. They just built one fucked up looking building and people were like, all right, no one said anything.
Let the fucking chinks live there, huh?
Well, they built these fucking like huge Shanghai houses. The first one must have infuriated everyone.
I'm like, I'm pissed now. I go down there, I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Get these ducks out.
The guy we're talking about is him. He's the one that sounds like he has chew in his mouth.
Is he like slurring?
Yes.
I'm so fucking cool.
You know what? Yeah, true. Also, I'm always like, how can there be so many fucking restaurants down here?
all restaurants. Well, because
you go in, there's like one person eating ever.
Fat white idiots like me are down there sucking down neuters.
I hate China. I hate the food of China.
Neuters is as fun and racist way to say noodles. I guess that's how Asians talk.
I think he just slurred.
No, he was doing a racist voice.
That's up Bianca as the judge. No, oh, you gotta go to jail.
Death.
You can't trick me, Felicity.
Chinese food's a very dishonest cuisine.
I don't even want to think about it.
They invented a fucking chemical.
Shane's like, don't get me fucking started. Okay? I'm trying out for SNL in another month. Don't even get me fucking started.
Do you know how funny I am?
Cool to put in their food to make it delicious, dude.
It is.
So the noodles, he just said the food was delicious.
Oh, fucking serious, SNL.
This is the podcast.
I hope this was his audition.
Well, in all fairness, the podcast is called Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast. So it was a secret. Okay, guys? Everybody's eavesdropping on diaries nowadays.
See, that's why the Ku Klux Klan hide their faces with sheets. It's like their secret.
The cop pulls their hat off and
costume.
They go,
it was a secret!
Invented a fucking chemical to put in their food to make it delicious, dude.
It is.
They made MSG.
Good for them.
Okay, first of all, they didn't make MSG. MSG was discovered, and it's discovered in Japan, by the way.
Honest food, dude. There's nothing to it. It's shitty meat, a chemical they made up to fuck your body up, and neuters.
The neuters are fucking
the cheapest
great.
Thing in the world.
We got it.
Chemical.
Okay, can I just, for a second,
yes.
I would love to read the nutrition diary. Like, I would love if they woke up and had a smoothie.
Right.
And like, no, we don't put that in our body. Nope. No, like, pizza. Although pizza, I don't think it's that bad. But like, no McDonald's. Like,
he's an overweight gentleman.
Oh, he is?
Not,
I didn't even.
Not obese, but yes.
But I don't, it's not even that. It's just like, by the way you talk, I can, like, you don't, you're just saying shit like a dum-dum.
Yeah.
Worst meat you can find.
We got in there and we sat down and baby girl was like, I'm so excited for neuters. And I was like, yo, chill.
Girlfriend's like, don't drag me into your shit.
Oh, that's who baby girl is?
I'm going to guess. Or his actual child, but I doubt it.
God, I'm so sorry.
She said neuters?
Yeah. And there's a fucking.
Maybe it was a baby.
Yeah. And it's full fucking Chinese in there. It's like, and it's such
isn't that kind of like nice though? Isn't that being like when people go into like a Mexican restaurant, like, I'll have two tacos? Like, I'll have a bowl of spicy neuters.
What? But we had it in the...
What?
You know, sometimes people go, I'll have the guacamole.
Oh, fucking idiot.
Yeah. So he's like, maybe if I talk with the R's and L's messed up like they do, they would appreciate it.
So that the word taco is in an accent?
It's just given it for instance.
Translation between you and the waiter.
Yeah.
It's just such a fucking hassle. It's like, can you? I'm pointing at it. Like, this is the fucking neuter.
Well, that's why I put number for like 57.
Yeah, this one, even with the fucking shit. I was pointing. I was like, that sauce. That.
This is why people
like, yeah, that
hate Americans in other countries.
Because they're bravely pushing boundaries with their comedy.
That, of course, is so
and yeah. Saying what people are too afraid to say. You know? I'm sorry if I. Push the envelope.
Yes.
What can I say?
Okay.
Hey, breakfast. We're recording the racist scene in Breakfast at Tiffany's today. You ready to push some boundaries?
Yeah. Oh, all of these tropes from, I don't know, the past 5 decades. I need to say them now so that in the future, people will know that the boundaries have been pushed by me on this issue.
They went to Chinatown and said, holy shit, there are Chinese people here.
Also,
oh
like,
my God.
Like, when
this
has.
This is not quality meat.
When has anybody been so upset that there's like a lot of restaurants to choose from?
Right.
They have so many restaurants down there. Like, how dare they?
I'm just guessing that the next episode wasn't about Italy Town's many restaurants.
Yeah. Where I'm from? One restaurant. And that's the American way.
She's like, yeah. She's like, a medium or a spicy?
Yeah.
She's like, medium. She's like, spicy? Like, no, medium.
What?
Okay, medium. He's more a performer than a writer, I think.
What are they saying?
He's just finding a way to do more Asian accents.
That was an Asian accent?
What do you think it was?
I didn't. I thought he was. I thought he was getting sleepy. I don't.
That's what we should say. The ambient defense. People honestly are buying this. I knew a guy that one time knew a guy that got into the wrong car on ambient. You know.
Also, where's this guy from? Because he's like, I don't know. I was just like what is that accent?
Philadelphia, right?
Is
that's
he?
Where I think that's where he up in the comedy scene.
Okay, because I do know that he performed multiple times in Philadelphia, and we know the guys, the man and woman that run a good comedy.
Honestly, like I was in Philly, and they had the best show in town. Like it's such a good venue.
They tweeted out, "We, like many, were very quickly disgusted by Shane Gillis's overt racism, sexism, homophobia, and transphobia expressed both on and off stage upon working with him years ago. We've deliberately chosen not to work with him in the years since." And they definitely stand by this. Do you know what I mean? They know they're a comedy club. They know people are going to get upset at them, like Bianca was pretending to be disgusted. Oh, this, you know, you can't push it as a comedian. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, I think we got to say something.
And they also know that, I mean, they're such a small theater and they're like the newest one, I think. And so, and they're very independent. It's very mom and pop shop in there. And so they know that being on this guy's side now that he has SNM would, SNL.
Right. Would, maybe SNM.
Right. It would benefit them.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're saying it at the height of where it would benefit them and they're just kind of shooting themselves about it, which right. is great.
Vulture, the magazine, later uncovered another recording of Gillis criticizing comedians who deploy a confessional style. They talk about Judd Apatow and Chris Gethard and mock them using homophobic slurs, calling them, quote, white faggot comics and fucking gayer than ISIS.
Holy sh! The nicest people.
And you right. know how gay ISIS is.
They chop your head off if you're gay. So. They're so confusing. This ISIS.
Well, I don't know who Judd Apatow, but Chris Gethard?
Right.
What are you saying about Chris Gethard? Chris Gethard probably saved so many people's lives. I'm not even exaggerating with like his comedy and his entertainment. He's one of those comedians where it's like he helps actual people through depression.
He was on, so listen to this. So Bo and Yang gets hired, okay? And of course, you know,
Bo and Yang also is so funny.
Yes.
And talented.
So Shane Gillis gets hired. Then they find, and by find, I mean recent, a clip of Shane on a podcast, the Real Ass podcast with Louis J. Gomez and Zach Amico, where Gillis calls Yang a, quote, Jew chink. Now we work together. Now we work. Hi, Shane. This is exciting. We're writers together. You know, we have to write to help each other get skits on the show.
You know what's funny? Just to bring up how perfect Bo and Yang had to be with his career.
Period. Yeah.
Yeah. And how this guy, Shane, they didn't even see that he called this particular person that you hired them at the same time.
Right.
Like Shane didn't have to do the things that Bo and Yang had to do.
Yeah. I want to be clear. This is
the guy you found?
Right.
Dude, this is like, there's a huge comedy community in New York alone. Let's say you're not flying people in just for the interview or whatever. Let's say you're not thinking outside of your own city. Fine. There's a huge community of women, people of color, people that like, the people that you're just like, yeah, we're so on board with these people. You found this fucking guy. Right. What did his audition look like?
It must have been good. Well, if it's so good.
You must be able to take a shit on command. Honestly, what else is there?
Also, there are so many more, like, there are so many different problematic white guys that they could hire that would be less embarrassing for them the day that they hired them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can still go the, you know, cis, straight, white guy route without, you know, really bungling it, y'all.
There are, he's from the Philly area. He's in New York City now, to be clear. So then he posts an apology the night this makes news.
10:43. What did I fucking say?
Basically.
Oh my God.
10:43 p.m. Now, I can't help but wonder, do you run this by Lorne Michaels? Do you run this by SNL people? Or do you go, you know what? They say I can be my... Lorne Michaels doesn't sit everybody down and go, no more Twitter! That's it!
Right.
Michael J., you're off Facebook!
The fuck is wrong with this whole town? Get off Twitter. You say your shit here. We pay you here. You're here till 4 in the morning talking to each other. But then you got Ray Little Secrets. Jew chink send. That's important. The show sucks half the time. Write something here. Show me your packets. You're done for the day?
My fantasy is that Lorne Michaels is like sitting in a chair that looks like a giant eagle's nest. And he's like, I know what I'll do.
Right.
I'll hire the first Asian cast member and then also the guy who called him a racial slur on the same day. And then we'll put that in a pot with a little pinch of salt and a little bit of my Canadian blood. And we'll see what happens, because there's no earthly reason why I should have been this successful in comedy for the past 40 years. It's all a fluke.
Don't you feel bad for that third comic who no one's talking about?
Oh, yeah. Because I'll wait in some check.
Yeah.
No, I think she's probably like, whew, thank goodness. Right.
I just want to be clear. I said chick. So here's the non-apology. And what also bothered me about it, it's he wrote it in notes on his phone, then took a picture of it. So you see the cursor waiting at the end.
Dude, a notes app apology is one of the best things that celebrities have to offer.
I'm a comedian who pushes boundaries.
Yeah, bro. Fucking, if I see a boundary, I'm going to push it, dude.
I said neuters for noodles. Like, I push that. So, you know, okay, some people are ahead of their time, but you wait 4 years from now. I'm a comedian who pushes boundaries. I sometimes miss. If you go through my 10 years of comedy, most of it bad, you're going to find a lot of bad misses. Now, right away, stop. Don't trick me.
But also, no, but what you're saying is I'm unqualified and somehow I got the job.
Right.
You're saying I mostly have bad shit and I miss a lot. I get that, but you are a comic, and this is what you applied for. And so you're not sitting there in front of Lorne Michaels go, trust me, I'll miss a lot.
Not only am I racist, I'm bad at what I do.
Yeah, but I try.
Right.
Hey, guys, I tried.
But again,
why am I not getting credit for trying anymore?
It's not that
woke up at noon. I went to record with my buddy, and all we did was go to Chinatown that day. So it's like, I'm just saying how I feel. You always wanted me to share my feelings, women.
Yeah, Lorne Michaels needs to sit these people down and go, you notice on the show, you play other people? Be those people.
It's all part of his master plan.
Don't be you. You are bad. I like when you do voices. But again, this isn't us going through 10 years of comedy. This is yesterday. I'm happy to apologize to anyone who's actually offended by anything I've said.
What?
Yeah. You know what?
Who's actually offended?
I say instead of us saying, what a lame apology and that making us get madder, we tweet him and go, yes, me.
It's me.
I would like one. Bianca, I believe, would like one, and I know would like one. We will all take some. Thank you.
He's like, and for proof, I will need a notarized letter.
Right. I'm happy to apologize to anyone who's actually offended by anything I've said.
If you're a fucking little bitch, right. I'll apologize to your bitch ass.
Say, I'm a bitch.
Right. All you need to do is say, I got nothing but bitch in me.
My intention is never to hurt anyone, but I am trying to be the best comedian I can be, and sometimes that requires risks.
Well, I'm not good enough, so I blame you. By the way, that's a baby accent.
I don't want to offend anyone. I want to offend everyone in one racial group.
Daniel Day Kim, Asian, he says, it took 45 years for SNL to get an East Asian cast member, and then the same year, he'll be joined by someone who would have no problem calling him, quote, a fucking chink. Gotta be a joke in there somewhere. Let's brainstorm, guys. Okay, let's brainstorm. He's very racist. We hired our first Asian. What do we do? What's the first skit? Maybe we're in a racial training seminar.
Yeah, Lorne is just doing it for his own laughs.
Right.
He's like, I want to see these fucking kids on the first day of work, see what they do.
I think so, too. And also, remember we talked about Dave Chappelle in the recent episode,
yeah, Sticks and Stones.
Sticks and Stones with Jay Nog and Luke Tuma.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
She knows it all.
That's right. She probably knows the number of the episode, too. Don't say it, because it really just makes Keith and I wonder what the fuck we're doing. So I mentioned a couple of things of his were off and ignorant, and that's why they didn't land for me.
Right.
So to me, this is like on the same sort of scope as this. So I get on Twitter, Dave Chappelle is a joke teller. Saying a joke into a mic doesn't make him an SJWR activist. He's still a clown looking for laughs. If the jokes on trans are ignorant, isn't that expected? Isn't the absurdity, isn't the absurdity what we're all laughing at? And so I wrote, cool.
Yeah, the whole time during that, Hemda, you were like, I'm not mad. I liked the special.
Right.
And it was like, you're so mad you hate Dave Chappelle.
And also, like, if Dave Chappelle says ignorant things and you're defending him, then I'm saying an ignorant thing and maybe you should defend me because we're both doing the same thing. But you're getting mad at me, not him. I'm just, it's so weird to be like, why are you commenting on my comment and then going like,
it's a free
I'm commenting
for,
on your right. comment. Like,
it's a free-for-all for the original people, but then it's not if you have a point.
Yeah, I'm commenting on Dave Chappelle and you're commenting on me. Do you not see the irony in your defense of Dave? Which he's the most, one of the most brilliant comics of our time. I feel like he does push boundaries. He is incredible and in a comic genius in a lot of ways. Sorry I didn't find 2 to 3 of his jokes good.
Right. Well, you got to remember, when you have somebody racist, sexist, you know, SNL is a big deal. It's not bullshit. It's not like President of the United States of America. Okay? Can you take this fucking institution for 4 decades a little serious? Mike Kaplan tweeted out, I can't believe Shane Gillis's present is resurfacing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he said, there are very fine people on both sides of this SNL thing. Oh, Lord. David Field writes, as a straight white male stand-up who showcased for SNL this year, let me just say, damn, how badly did I fuck up that audition?
That's what I'm saying.
Then the Hollywood Reporter puts out an article to say congratulations to the first Asian cast member, Bowen Yang, and there's a picture of Joel Kim Booster.
No.
Another comic you can hear on Keith and the Girl, of course. So I tweeted out, I'm proud that keithandthegirl.com featured both of SNL's new Asian performers, Bo and Yang. And apparently, I hate Joel Kim. That's his Twitter account. Well, congrats to both. There's room for everybody. Legally, Joel should be hired if he wants the job.
Yes! You know what? Joel should come in for Bowen one day and see if anyone notices.
Right.
These fucking idiots.
Oh, my God. Hollywood Reporter, what'd you do? Just go through your Asians?
Wow.
And the first one that popped up, B for Booster?
Oh, gosh.
Who knows? How did it even happen? So Joel Kim's doing fine. He's on an NBC show that comes out the 26th called Sunnyside. So Bowen Yang tweeted out, anyway, watch Sunnyside on NBC. On the 26th. Holy shit.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. Oh, well.
I gotta go.
No kidding, right?
I gotta go to jail for 14 days.
For something I heard.
You know? I just want to think. I just want time to think.
Right.
And I just feel like everybody, like, you know, people listening to this who get mad, I just wonder what you're listening to. Like, when you don't get mad at certain comments, and then we're also saying this jokingly and with thought out, you know, Keith has some shit printed, but you're going to get mad at us. And I think the ones that are like, I'm not on anyone's side, but you really should be nicer. And I'm like, that's a side, bitch.
Right.
Just weird.
I think I'm being really nice. Right?
I'm fine.
I don't, how nice are we supposed to be?
Right.
I'm always nice.
All I said was E. Yeah. You said a name. I said E.
Guy's in some hot water.
Well, we'll see. You know, I mean, I guess they also, like, does Lorne Michaels say, like, assuming it's not an evil genius plan, does he say, like, oh, fuck, this is a problem, but my kid's get in trouble for everything, it seems. I have to ignore this.
I think that's what I was going to say is I think that SNL has pushed the boundaries and has said some pretty forward things that must have gotten the same kind of press as how can you say that and blah, blah, blah. So yeah. I don't think the head of this whole he's not in auditions, I don't think. But even if he was, I don't think he's paying attention. This is small bananas to him. There's always an uproar about his show. There's always this is not funny about his show. Right. I don't think that you become him by paying attention to any of this, because what's going to happen? Nothing. No one's going to boycott. Nothing's going to change in the listener watch how often people watch. It's just not going to change for him. So what does he care if children, which is what these people are fighting again?
Is Shane Gillis going to play a Chinese waiter on the first episode? Just like a little wink to the audience.
Mm.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Speaking of social media, I saw somebody happened to be looking for scrubs, like the doctor scrubs.
Uh-huh.
And they're one of our sponsors. And, you know, a listener of Keith and Girl said, hey, you're looking for scrubs. I didn't know anybody's looking for fucking scrubs in this world. I really didn't. So we advertised these scrubs, Figs, F-I-G-S. People do love them.
They're comfortable. You could wear them like real clothes.
I wear them like weird, yeah, but real. People, I don't.
Weird, but true.
Weird, but true. I don't wear that Harvard shirt anymore. I wear a scrubs shirt. People assume I graduated finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, scrubs. For nurses, doctors, dentists, people that work in medicine and healthcare, and me, Keith Malley, on the subway. They're comfortable scrubs, and apparently it's hard for doctors to find these kinds of things.
It's true. I went to the dentist, and I noticed that one of the dentists was wearing Figs, because I saw the little tag on her pants, and I was like, why am I talking to these people? But I was like, oh, you're wearing Figs, and she goes, yeah, they're just comfortable, and I'm like, why didn't I record this? Yes. This is real.
Ill-fitting scrubs is what people are forced to wear. They're scratchy. Now, these ones, they're comfortable. They look good. You go to this website. Everybody's a supermodel there, but they fit nice. They're wonderful. You go to WearFigs, WearFigs.com, enter code KATG at checkout. WearFigs.com and enter code KATG at checkout. You're going to love these scrubs, whether you're one of the awesome humans that work in healthcare or someone that wants to say thanks to them. By the way, do that. You got a loved one in some real trouble in the hospital, you know, that really got hurt. Don't bring donuts. Bring a scrub. And they go, oh, yeah, we'll keep an eye on your loved one. Don't worry. Trust me. Figs is going to make that easy by providing you with 15% off your first purchase by using code KATG.
Put scrubs in your Tinder profile picture.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, because all your pictures are lies anyway, right? Those people aren't your friends. So yeah, throw it in and then go, no, I just like them. I just like the shirt. I didn't mean to imply I was a doctor. However you work it out. But I'll be honest, I'll say it again. When they were like, hey, do you want these people as an advertiser? I'm like, who's going to want scrubs? Then they sent me one and I go, I like this. But still, who's going to want scrubs? People are want scrubs.
Totally.
I appreciate it. There's a news article I'm reading about a famed skeleton picture. Two pictures. These people were buried side by side holding hands like lovers. It's called Lovers of Modena. You can see it at keithandthegirl.com. And they finally discovered now.
And this is what this, you saw a picture of this?
Yeah, here's the picture.
Okay.
1500 years ago, they believe these people were preserved in mud. And people see that and they go, they make it their wedding picture. Oh, we're in love. You know, this is true love. You're buried together. You can't be apart. They just discovered that those were two men.
Hell yeah.
This is in Italy. But that's interesting, right? It really was Adam and Steve. How about that? How about that? Brett Kavanaugh, he's now, of course, a Supreme Court justice, so doesn't matter what I'm about to tell you, but another rape accusation.
Lifetime appointment.
Lifetime appointment.
A little bit longer than 14 days.
Now, New York Times Opinion tweeted out, having a penis thrust in your face at a drunken dorm party may seem like harmless fun, but when Brett Kavanaugh did it to her, Deborah Ramirez says, it confirmed that she didn't belong at Yale in the first place. Then New York Times Opinion came out and said, oh, we deleted an earlier tweet to this article that was poorly phrased. Look into whoever typed, having a penis thrust in your face might seem like fun. What? What?
But someone could lose an eye.
What?
I think that's the most honest tweet.
Okay.
I do think that people think like, remember what's his face was on our show? What is the big Maspeth dude who had his friend's dicks in his face?
Chris DeStefano.
Yeah. Chris DeStefano. So he was just like, ah, they were just fucking around. It's just a dick in your mouth because they're joking.
Right.
This is very true. And what I thought growing up, like, that's a prank, you know, like drawing a dick on your face if you fall asleep first at the party. Like, I really.
Yeah. But does this guy, I mean, an opinion, well, I don't know. Like, it sounds like this has facts in it, but it's the opinion, I guess, you take a little lighter than the rest of the New York Times. But don't you probably glance at the New York Times and go, this isn't what I should write?
I love that. I love it because it is, hey, you might think this is funny because this is your intention to be funny somehow, like that you expect people to laugh, in other words.
Right.
But this is how it makes someone actually feel. Yeah. I think it's great.
Well, New York Times didn't.
I just think that there are so many avenues for content and like everything has to be continually updated every, you know, right. 5 minutes that the person behind the tweet is just like, this is penis, harmless fun, send, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, this is the paper of record.
Right. They're recording this one.
I don't want to. I don't even want the word penis in there.
There were the Creative Arts Emmys came out the other day. There's, of course, the regular Emmys everybody knows about. And they go, you know what? It's 5 hours long as it is. Let's take some of these ones that you don't care about so much and have it be its own show where I don't know where you see it, but people do dress up just the same.
So they said, hey, we have the Emmys. Let's do part two?
No.
Kind of.
It's the opposite kind of, but yeah, they do a little ceremony and then we'll have the fun one where you see Felicity Huffman.
Shout out to my friend Ryan, though, who was nominated.
Oh, what was he nominated for?
His Netflix show Special.
Oh, I got news for you. is that on the real Emmys or the Creative Arts Emmys?
Creative Arts.
Okay. Here's some winners. Outstanding Structured Reality Program, Queer Eye. Previous known, of course, as Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Wait, that's a comedy?
No, Outstanding Structured Reality Program.
Oh, Structured Reality. Yes. Okay.
All right.
Reality Man. Right. Structured Reality.
Okay. Well, Queer Eye is very, very, very popular, right?
They love it.
Yeah.
Everyone loves it.
Everyone loves a good makeover. It's fascinating.
Up for that one was Antiques Roadshow. That's still going on?
Great show.
Everybody's cleaning stuff up, right? Holy shit. Is it sad when they're like, that's worth a quarter, dumb? And you're like, oh, I'll take your two teeth back to your house.
No, I like it.
Yeah?
It's like a scratch ticket, you know?
Okay.
I think that show created hoarders.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I think like, no.
Yeah.
You ever like keep something because it's like, this looks old. So I right. feel like I should take it to an antique store. And then the antique show is giving you all this like, oh, they were going to throw this out. Never yeah. throw it out.
Yeah.
And then the hoarders are like, it's my treasures.
By the way, speaking of scratch off ticket, I was at the bodega.
And by the way, that's the way to stop hoarders is to get an antique show person in there and be like, oh, all of this is garbage.
Right.
And then be like, oh, well, it's certified garbage. So now I can let it go.
And they get two shows at once.
Yes, yes. Antique show meets the hoarders. Yeah. Oh.
They put it on split screen.
Crossover.
You pay more attention to what side angle of the camera you want.
Yes, the new real Brady Bunch.
So I see somebody buying a scratch-off ticket. I'm like, and I asked the bodega guy, hey, what ticket, how much is that ticket that he got? I don't know, if maybe it's a sign. And he goes, $20. And so, you know, I'm out right there. But then he goes, and I can't sell it to you while he's here.
What?
Because if he loses, then I win. Maybe the bodega guy did something shady. Mm. Who knows? He doesn't even want to get a customer riled up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow. Why didn't I get that one?
Mm. Fuck.
Yeah. I just thought that was funny.
Wow.
There was a period where I became a little bit addicted to scratch tickets in college.
What kind were you buying?
Crossword one. Yeah. Cashword.
Right. That one's probably easier than the Times crossword puzzle, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
You're like, I'll be the only one that finishes this. Scratch, 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 scratch.
I felt a little bit like déclassé, shall we say, because I would be in college like with my books, like bookmarked up with only scratch tickets. So, but I managed to quit.
All right. So. Congrats. Nice.
Thanks.
They are. I am surprised at how expensive they get. Like, not because of the one at a time thing. I get that. But the $20 ticket is, that's real money.
Mm-hmm.
Best narrator for the Creative Emmys.
What?
Best narrator.
Narrator?
Yes. Explain the narrator.
Hemda.
On what? Like on a show?
Sometimes there's a show and action is happening on the show, but perhaps what's happening in the action is not clear.
Who does
so
that?
So somebody comes in.
A narrator.
In post-production, and they sort of look at the action and they explain to the audience what is happening, and that, Hemda, is a narrator.
Give an example of a narrator
like
driven.
You right now.
David Attenborough, my famous impression from last week on Keeping the Girl.
David Attenborough also happened to win Best Narrator for Our Planet.
Our Planet.
Okay.
And cool. In Our Planet, the human male records a podcast and he decides, let me go to a restaurant of Asian descent. And then my friend and I, we will go to our sound booth and be racist. And then the human male gets hired on the most prestigious comedy program in the entire Western Hemisphere, David Attenborough.
Well, congrats, he won.
I get it now. Thank you.
Outstanding writing. Explain to Hemda what writing is.
Hemda, sometimes a word, when you aren't hearing it from a narrator, perhaps you are looking at symbols on a page, okay? And you're thinking, what are these lines that are just in shapes? But really, they form letters, which form words, which form a language.
Mm.
Up for outstanding rating, Adam Sandler for 100% Fresh.
Stop it.
Amy Schumer. You didn't see it. It's great.
I don't give a shit, and it's not.
You just learned what a narrator is.
Okay.
And I enjoy something.
Let's take that seriously. Sure. Let's compare that to my real brain.
We're never good, though.
That's true.
Amy Schumer for Growing. Carpool Karaoke, When Corden Met McCartney. I'm sure that was outstanding writing.
Okay. I saw that. Did I cry? Yes.
Well, Paul McCartney, he's great. He's interesting.
Maybe I'm amazed at the way sang in the car.
Well, now you know it was all written. He wrote those songs before. Outstanding writing. Homecoming, a film by Beyonce.
Mm, great film.
Wait, I saw that one. Well, that's the one of her and Coachella?
Yeah.
That's not... What?
She wrote that.
There was no writing.
There was no writing.
This is why Hemda doesn't know those words. It's not her fault.
They're tricking me.
Wait, are you serious? That was seriously just her at Coachella. And then in between, she'd be like, this is us when we were rehearsing. And Maya Angelou said she found the most innocuous fucking quotes and pretended they were deep. And that was in between the song and dances that she was doing.
Maya Angelou was a great writer, Hemda. So when you saw that came on screen, they're like, that is good writing.
Just go with it, man.
What?
Just go with the flow.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's get to movie time because you people.
Wanda Sykes, Not Normal. And your winner, Hannah Gadsby for Nanette.
Nanette, not real comedy.
Can you imagine if that robbed y'all? Is it stand-up? I don't know. I didn't see it. Is she rolling on the ground and shit? She's standing up. She's saying things. Outstanding documentary or nonfiction special? Fire, The Greatest Party That Never Happened.
I feel like nobody watched that because when you see the commercial for it, you're like, I get it.
Right. I think I get the point. Right.
I did watch it, though.
Yeah.
Did you learn?
Did I learn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What'd you learn? That models are dishonest. They don't care.
No, like the extent to which this man devastated a tiny community financially.
The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley. Jane Fonda in Five Acts.
Oh.
Love, Gilda Radner.
Okay.
Minding the Gap, that's people that got caught or dropped their phones before they get on a subway. Winner, Leaving Neverland.
Oh, well, that did a lot for a lot of people.
All lies.
There's no way. I don't believe it. Come on.
Is Dave Chappelle going like, come on, that's fake.
Speaking of movies, we'll do movie time, Hemda.
Oh, boy.
I was informed that MoviePass has been canceled.
I heard about that, but no one's using it, so...
Well, they also like that they're trying to figure out how to restructure. First of all, don't go from $60 a month for unlimited movies that Keith Melly is willing to pay to get more customers. You make it $10 all of a sudden, everybody's going to go broke. It's crazy.
And that makes no sense.
And of course, it fails. And they haven't been charging people for quite some time now as they, but you couldn't use it, as they were trying to restructure something and they finally admitted, we can't, we don't know what we're doing. In the meantime, they're heroes. They should win an award.
They did well.
They changed the whole game. Now your major theater chains have their own specific Regal, only Regal movie theaters, but anything you want.
But you know what? I did notice that because I went to the theater this Friday night. And I think that's great because I think of, when I think of movies, I think of Keith Malley. And I think, like, usually if you're a steady moviegoer, you go to the one by your house because if you have a major movie theater, what do you care, right? So, and Regal is in so many places. So
Regal, AMC, these are the big ones, yeah.
I think they should have one of those, like, police funerals for movie pass with, like, bagpipes and stuff. For all the people who loved it.
There should be a documentary. And I assume I'm in it because I think I took them down. There was a time, I'm not exaggerating, there was a time when MoviePass wasn't working, but they said, save your stubs. And I don't think people were saving them. They probably didn't want people to. I saved all the stubs. And then I reached the CEO of MoviePass.
That's their first problem.
Well, he happened to hear me say on the show, and he's like, hey, thanks for really supporting MoviePass. It's a big deal. I go, thanks. Also, I'm not getting answers about my stubs. Maybe you can help me out. He goes, yeah, tweet them over to me. 20 easily. Bling, 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 bling. I had to take out a loan. So he pays back all these stubs. I'd be in this documentary is my point. But you're right. It's amazing that they changed the game and it gave these theaters the idea, like, all right, you have to go to our theater, but it's unlimited. How about somewhere in the middle? $25. And that's what I do. I go to two movies.
Oh yeah.
By myself, that's more than $25.
I went to the movies. It was $19 a ticket. $19. Wow. It was a regular theater. It wasn't like IMAX or anything like that.
And you saw Hustlers. That's the price of a lap dance.
Seriously? $19. So you go with two people. You know you got to buy popcorn and soda. Of course you do.
Don't you go to jail 14 days.
All week I was like, I can't wait for popcorn on Friday night. Right. I love movie popcorn. So you get that.
I can't wait for popcorn.
I'm serious.
On Friday night.
My sister likes that popcorn. We left the theater and she got the popcorn for like the walk home.
She's smart.
Right.
Yeah, I always said that about your sister. That was $60 for the first part of your quote date or whatever. You know, like I happen to be on a date too. But then are you not doing, all you could do is walk around after. You're just like, we spent $60.
And nobody thinks about the money because you're an asshole if you go, I'll get the movie, you get dinner. It's like, no, you're making out by getting the dinner.
No shit. I'm getting falafel. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, what? Like, it's just insane. You can't do anything else.
Right. Hemda tweeted out, I dare you to not walk out of Hustlers Keith Malley. I'll bet you $20 you won't make it to the end. See, now, Hemda doesn't understand. I'm the kind of guy that will see both parts of that shit movie, It. So you're talking to the wrong guy. Also, I think Hemda was so upset about losing money. She's like, take all my fucking money. I think she's like, you ever be in a casino and you lose the money you set aside, but you're like, oh, I got a spare dollar in my pocket. So on your way out, you find a tampon machine for no reason. Like, take it all. Fuck me. Yes. That's what Hemda's doing. Who wants money? I'm giving away money.
But also, I genuinely, I'm not joking. The last show that we did where I was like, I'm going to see this movie, like as a joke. And two of you, who was the guest on that? Someone nice.
It was Chelsea White.
It was Chelsea White. And she was like, I'm going to see it too. And I'm like, yeah, girlfriend shit, right? And then they both looked at me like, no, we're going to the movies as people do. And I'm like, nah, not as people do. Like, come on. And then I was like, Keith is not going to see this because he sees everything, but not like crazy bulls. You're not going to go see Magic Mike, for example.
I did see Magic Mike.
Fuck my life.
Magic Mike XXL is my favorite movie.
Okay, but you're different than
Keith. Steven Soderbergh directed it. He's a real director.
Oh my God. Did you see the commercial for Hustler?
Yes.
Yes.
And you were like, this is a sincere fucking movie that I'm going to go pay money for.
Well, they say it's about women in a strip club that drug men. We read the story on Keith and the Girl at the time. And they would, they started.
Great. So you watched it. Go ahead. Tell me how great it is. Explain to me how this is a movie.
Oh my God, Hemda.
An hour 50, by the way, which you couldn't have been happy about. And if you're going to fake happiness about that, I'm calling you out. An hour 50. Did you love the Christmas scene for fucking 15, 20 minutes? Did you love that fucking shit? A chinchilla coat because you made how much? $5,000 split between the club and the four of you? Where are you getting this fucking chinchilla coat from? The math didn't add up. The fucking bullshit didn't add up. And all it was J-Lo looking stunning in every fucking scene.
Yeah.
So if you want to pay $19 for that, I will give you that.
Yeah.
See, when I go with Aldo and Cole and they go like, J-Lo is amazing and all this other bullshit, I'm like, yes, this is why we come see the movie.
And you get to see her whole butt.
Yes. Yes. And yes, she wore like all those stupid things where it's like, oh, I just wanted to see the chinchilla coat. I just wanted to like see that she's doing that stuff. But it's not a movie. We didn't go to go like, tell me the story of J-Lo as a stripper drugging. And by the way, we're supposed to be on their side. These are fucking big time criminal cunt faces. They didn't just regular drug people. They ketamine and Molly.
Here she is, narking again.
Imagine reading this review in print and no sentences are finished. There's a dash and then it goes, and by the way, no, you're the only one talking. By the way.
What?
Okay, the drug scene, may I please?
Well, no.
You have to stop now.
Yeah, slow down. Let's all slow down.
Cut it out.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, go.
Okay. First of all, I will agree, this movie was god-awful.
Would you give it any tomatoes? How many tomatoes?
No.
Come on.
I give it a 1 to 10, I give it a 0.
Like a negative.
Oh my God, you guys are such haters.
What did you think of it?
I loved it.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, I'm not looking at you anymore for the rest of this episode.
I loved it, and you respect my intelligence, remember?
I don't know how now.
Just try and talk shit about me on last week on Keith and Girl.
No, I didn't like that. So it's a 2-hour movie. I don't understand why it wouldn't be an exciting movie. That's exciting. You're drugging dudes.
Get a grip. But okay. You know what?
So anyway, what joke lasts 2 hours?
Dude.
Your explanation is dumb.
Hamda, the thing about...
I thought it'd be dumb. It was. Fuck her.
Yeah.
No, I thought it'd be good.
I'm so mad because I thought I'd not like it and then I didn't. I was right.
But it wasn't even good enough to laugh at.
Here's Hemda.
Yes.
Diagnosis from me to you. No, you know, this is all said with love. But
look, Hemda.
All right.
Bianca pushes the boundaries.
Okay.
Take this in.
Like, okay, Hemda, you are all about like expanding your mind, learning about yourself, you know, introspection, getting to the bottom of what other people's experiences are.
You're buttering me up.
Opening your third eye, you know, with the help of like, you know, I don't know, maybe marijuana from time to time. Just like really.
Oh, I took a weed break.
I hope when Hemda went out for the weed break, it was the 5 minutes when they actually showed guys being drunk finally.
Taking the fabric of reality and just like rubbing it all over your face because you don't want any distance between you and the real meat of life. Now, for the rest of us, we don't want that. We don't want to know about reality. Mm-hmm. We want, see me? Oh, Lord of the Rings? Yeah, let me read it. Several times. Let me watch it. Hustlers, it hits the same button for me. I want J-Lo. She's wearing sparkles. We're drugging men. It's morally ambiguous, but we look
morally
hot.
Ambiguous? It was morally ambiguous?
They're wrong.
Yeah, at best.
They are drug. The guys are falling face flat on the floor, and then they're robbing them of $50,000 at a time. Morally ambiguous?
And for a 2-hour movie, the only time they took to explain the other side is like, hey, remember these guys ruined Wall Street and the banks?
But that's true. They did.
They could have spent another sentence too, so we feel bad for the men.
Okay. I didn't need a lot of convincing that they were bad dudes.
Well, if you're in it for the clothes, then that's what you're in it for.
They weren't picking those bad dudes. They weren't going to their office. They were picking people with nice shoes who have money. You don't even know what that guy does for a living. They didn't go to their office. They went to a bar and picked on the guy who fell for their bullshit.
Yeah.
And then they drugged them. Okay,
yeah.
The drug scene. May I please, criminals. Please, please.
Yeah, but okay. Let's slow
sexy.
Down, though.
Okay.
And let's say how the movie...
Sexy. Criminals.
How the movie starts.
Okay.
Did you show up on time?
I did.
Very good.
Yes.
Did you get into the promos? the previous.
When I say on time.
Okay. So wow. Don't worry about that. Now, when you say on time, yes, that you understood the movie or did you see the production logo?
I saw the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't like that it
I took a smoke break, but I did not miss anything. I promise you.
Okay. No, I believe that.
Okay.
So the very first hour, first of all, it starts, they're explaining to me what a strip club is in the slowest ways possible.
Yes. After 20 minutes, I was like, I fucking get it. And of course, when J-Lo comes on, who's this? I'm a new girl. I want everything that she has. They're throwing singles, hundreds on her. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I still need a scam to make money. She's making thousands and thousands a night.
So it takes literally, because I checked my phone, it takes an hour before the idea of drugging guys and scamming them even comes up.
Sure. Yeah. I would say the pacing of this movie did have some issues.
Okay.
Well, maybe at the end when they showed credits and there was just one editor, maybe that's their issue.
Cardi B and Lizzo are there.
Love them.
Oh, everyone lost their mind.
For no reason. For no reason.
What reason do you need besides it's fun and you know good?
There was good reason.
They're famous, fun, good.
Yeah.
What other reason is there?
Yeah. They're in the cool outfits. They're saying the cool shit.
This movie is cotton candy for you to eat.
Honestly, they were the only lines that I was like, oh, this is fun.
It was.
Yeah.
You love that line.
The whole thing was stupid and they were the smallest comic relief.
I don't need a guy. I got a dildo.
Exactly.
You loved it.
No.
And loved it.
No, I didn't. But I at least understood their situation, like why they were in there.
Did you see it was produced by Will Ferrell? Do you think he was drugged? And they took his hand and made him write a script? The fuck?
Oh, God.
And then at the very end of it, there's...
Oh, she's so deep, that final fucking thing she said.
I loved it.
What'd she say?
You guys are fucking haters.
What'd she say that's so deep?
She was like, everybody, this whole country is a strip club.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mic drop, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then at the very end of the movie, it's over. They're of course, caught, etc. Then they go back to this Christmas scene that I'm just talking about. And it's the four women just dancing for no reason to Miss You Much.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Yeah, because they're... spoiler alert, if possible. They all get off. One of them said, yes, I did do it right away. She got caught, the main chick. She's like, yeah, I did do it. And J-Lo was like, what the fuck are you telling people that we did it for? Which I totally understood that anger. And then it was said, because she was honest with the cops, she only got probation. And then the rest of them only got probation, except for two of them, which were not J-Lo and the main chicks. They got something like 2 months, but only weekends in jail.
Right.
But they... drugged men day after day after day, like to the point where they're like, again, falling face down. They stole grand larceny type money.
Yeah.
Well, but they were honest at the end. So
the guy that it was just one guy that finally went to the cops. You know, all the other guys are embarrassed for whatever reason. You know, the money, being taken advantage, you know, that kind of thing. But this Dr. Ziad Yunan, he reported the scam. This was at Scores in 2013. He said that he was drugged and $135,000 in charges racked up to his credit card. And in the movie, you see that during, you know, a one-minute plot point, finally, some of these men would call back and go, listen, just give me my money back. And they're like, no, we can't do that. And so, of course, you know, one person comes out and then they find some other people.
What are you doing stealing $130,000 at a time?
Right.
And by the way, in the beginning of the movie, J-Lo was explaining how these guys that she works with at the strip club, they drop $10,000, $15,000 a night.
As is. Normal.
But she doesn't blow anyone. She doesn't fuck anyone.
Right.
So they're spending 10, 15 grand on one, maybe two to three girls. 10 to 15,000 and no one's getting touched.
You know what that makes?
Okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah, doubt it.
All right.
It makes me think of the Basketball Diaries when Leonardo DiCaprio played this guy that, you know, would... he's doing heroin, but he doesn't have money for heroin. So they explain how he'll go into a bathroom stall and let a guy blow him for $1,000. I'm like, oh, Is that the way it worked out? They blew you? Interesting. Okay, we'll put that in the scene.
Even that's more believable.
Well, anyway, do you know what Jennifer Lopez looks like in real life? The woman she played?
So wait, was this a real story?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it starts with this is a real story.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, it was really a real story?
Yes. We talked about it!
Wait, did people actually get off though? Nobody went to jail?
I assume that all the words at the end were true. That's what I'm going to assume, because that'd be easy to prove otherwise.
Oh, then, okay.
To what part?
Really nothing. I'm trying, okay? Everyone looks good. That picture looks good, too. Yes, everyone looks very pretty. I don't know what to say. It's amazing that women could hold gravity. We've been asked to do that for years. Fantastic. One of us.
What's happening? It.
I don't get it.
Women look amazing. Show me another picture. Strippers, yes, they look great.
Oh, well, I'm saying actually that the actresses look much better than the real people.
I thought everyone looked great.
Well, don't turn it around. I'm the asshole now.
Well, you said it.
All right.
Okay, so now can we talk about how they put drugs together? They're like, what drugs, when we're not going to Google it, what drugs can get guys to still be like, all right, and moving, but like, not all there, right? So they decided ketamine and Molly, but they didn't know the dose. So they took, and Molly is $50 every time you do a hit, right? That's Molly. Ketamine, I don't know how much it is. They took, did you see the amounts they took when they were just experimenting? They were like, look at this big baking sheet. No, that's wrong. Toss it. And then when they were cleaning up, they took a sponge to all of the powder on the counter. And we were all like, the fuck is it? That's $1,000 worth of drugs that you're just sponging off.
Also, she's pushing it towards the stove. Did you notice that? Yes.
What is happening?
Not the corner so you can put it in your hand, not the sink, into the stove. Okay, they don't clean much.
Those are drugs.
But I never felt bad for these women. When the woman didn't want to work at a strip club anymore before the scam, then she's calling up sweet guys, at least one of them, right? Mm-hmm. That you understand he's a sucker, but he's sweet. And he's like, hey, maybe I can. Oh, now's bad timing. I just proposed to, and I have a fiance. Fuck you, click.
And then crosses
his name off at the bottom of the list, meaning she's just going to start using people for money again. So it's not she's finding the bad people.
No, they were not just finding that. They weren't paying attention to that. But also, that guy is not that sweet either.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
She's more criminal-minded, but he had a fiance when they were originally doing things.
It was funny when he took the call in the sauna to hide.
That was funny. But no, he's not that great either, but he's not like bankrupt like she is in the fucking head.
Right.
Okay, well, that teaches anybody to have any fun around him, though.
But Keith, you had fun?
No, it's a terrible movie.
Don't go to the grocery store and buy a chocolate. Don't go to the movies. All you can do is like read self-help books and cry. That's the only thing you're allowed to do.
All right, seven pillars of self-esteem.
Of course, I sat through the whole thing.
All right, well, I'm going to do what they did to the strippers on their worst night. Their worst night. Here's your fucking 20.
Right in the head.
Some days were bad, and they're just showing them, like, I guess they're being thrown money at them. I'm like, that's not your fucking worst night.
Now, who
did? As a stripper.
Now, we love that Usher came into the club, right?
What a cameo. What, like, 5 to 10 minutes?
Easily.
Of just him walking into the club and J-Lo going, we were famous at the same time, basically.
Right. But if you...
If I what? Finish the sentence.
I don't know. How is there a problem with that scene, which there is, but no problem with Cardi B and Lizzo for no reason?
They were cast members, and they did like a few lines. That was a very good cameo. It made sense.
For no reason.
Him walking in and they seriously slow down everything.
Cardi B in real life drugged men and stole their money. Make her part of the crew. Instead, she's just sticking out her tongue like she does. But she's probably the one that could bring authenticity to it.
Usher was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Why'd you go, though? I don't get it.
I like seeing stupid movies. This was just too dumb. Imagine that.
No, you don't like seeing stupid movies.
You don't like it.
I'm done. This was three fucking strikes with your fucking movie theaters. She's $60 to see a fucking movie.
Now there are movie theaters.
I'm going to pay her $19 to never go to the movies again.
Thank you.
And I will deliver popcorn to your house.
How do I sign up?
It's just Movie Pass Bianca edition.
Right. And it'll last longer.
Yeah. It's where you just chill.
Keith, normally you would be all over shitting on this.
I did. What the fuck part did you miss?
Would you have stayed until the end if I didn't threaten you? You wouldn't have walked out of this at the Christmas scene specifically. Fucking Christmas scene.
Permission to treat her like a hostile witness.
Granted.
If I was by myself, I might have walked out, yes. Okay,
thank you.
At the Christmas scene?
I don't know that I would have got that far.
Thank you. Can you at least understand that I know you a little bit with that tweet, that you do not like this movie, you wouldn't have liked this movie, and you would have left? Thank you. Your Honor, yes.
Oh, my Lord. Now.
I'm so scared.
Right? Right? That's what happens to the nicest people. They saw a movie that they think should have been popcorn fun, was all about sparkles and fur coats,
no.
But it didn't play right and she's ready to murder.
Yes.
She's so mad.
So angry.
So bad. It has Oscar buzz.
No, it
Oscars.
Doesn't. No, it doesn't.
There was an article.
I would give Jennifer Lopez okay. an Oscar for that.
For her butt?
For the whole thing. She's amazing. She's amazing. She's 50 years old.
Oh, yes. That's true. But also.
Well, there's two of them because there was a 50-year-old in real life and they found another 50-year-old somehow.
That's the credit that she gets.
All right. Well, congratulations to you, Bianca.
No, I delete this whole episode. This is garbage.
And you took your boyfriend, Henda, so that's good.
I know, but I warned him. I did. He was noticing.
Oh,
he wasn't
no. Gonna... Poor Xerxes had to see Jennifer Lopez's butt for 90 minutes.
By the way, that's not a pleasure. No offense to the Lopez's. I have porn. What am I going to do? Whack off in the theater? Who gives a shit?
I didn't think it was that hot, honestly.
God, you guys.
Didn't think. That's not hot.
Did you get moist?
No, you just break my heart every episode. It's like every episode I tune in, I'm like, they're going to come around this time. They're going to. And then no, just take my hopes and dreams and grind them with the bottom of your shoe into a pulp.
Xerxes was like, are you sure I'm invited to this thing? I'm like, I don't know. When I brought up this movie 2 months ago, because Aldo and Cole were like, this is coming out and we're going. And I'm like, yes. And Xerxes is like, yeah, I'll stay home for that. So I'm like, you said you want to stay home. He's like, I just want to hang out. I'm like, okay, but
did you leave?
I didn't do this.
Did you see this? When did you leave? Do you know how long into the movie you left?
For a smoke break?
Yeah.
I know that it was when they ratted them out. So when the cops were alerted, I was outside. But when they got arrested, I was back in.
That's the good part.
That was a good part.
Oh, is that the good part that I missed?
It's the only part. There's 5 minutes to this movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I took 5 minutes to smoke and I missed the good part of an hour and 50. Keith, stop. You really need to stop. I shouldn't have bet you before this because you would have been right with me on this fucking bullshit. But now you got to defend this stupid movie going experience.
He doesn't like the movie, Hemda.
Imagine you're in court and I'm your lawyer and I'm defending you.
Hemda, you'd be so pleased. Like
it. Can my lawyer shut the fuck up?
Shakers.
You ask her.
The only 10 good movies.
During last week, if it surprised Hemda. How much I love that movie. Let's see what she says, all right? We're going to record this immediately right after this show. And
gosh.
I want to say, and then ask her if it's a true story.
No, that's next week. We can't run over this one. We have to wait until next week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I did see the movie It. That's a 3-hour movie, no exaggeration.
Too scary.
I was so bored. See, horror movies, they never have to make sense, and this doesn't either.
Why do you keep going?
You don't know the... it's my job. Get to know me.
I was scared at the preview. I was little scared at the preview for that.
I find it more laughable. I don't know. But they don't explain what this evil clown can do, and so it's anything fucking goes.
Mostly, have a balloon.
He really is. You know what? He's a Nightmare on Elm Street character, and the first Nightmare on Elm Street... came out in 84. This book, It, came out in 86. And to me, it's a flat-out ripoff. This clown could kill kids at any time. That's what it wants. It loves eating children. Ew. But he keeps fucking with them like Freddy Krueger used to do. And especially when you finish part one of It, and you're the clown, and you realize these kids are trouble. They could actually hurt me.
They can?
Yeah. Yeah. They kill the clown, supposedly. Then 27 years later, part two explains how they're adults, and they have to fight the clown again.
But he's dead.
So now, nope. So now,
so it's Freddy.
Now, here's this resting. So now, the end. So now the clown starts fucking with them again. It's like, no, you know these are smart kids somehow. They're trouble. Just like Freddy Krueger, you can fight Freddy if you realize it's a dream. So you realize what the clown's doing isn't real. You can fight him somehow. Kill these kids. Kill them. No, you got to act like an old naked lady and scare them again. They love just scared. These fucking killers, worst in the world. But you know what's better than eating kids? And that is good. Scaring. Well, scare other kids. Take care of these fucking bad news bears. They're trouble. Eat them.
This movie in your fantasy of what it would really be like is just like a Julia Child style cooking show.
Yes.
With the clown It.
Yes.
Just like putting a child into the oven and then being, you know, mixing things in small bowls.
Yeah.
Keith's like, now this is a horror movie. You want to eat the kids? Eat the kids.
You go to scare.
Make a recipe.
Yeah. You go to scare a kid, okay? Because that's fun. That is fun.
You scare him, you kill him, you eat him.
That gets the meat juicy. It's not that hard. Right. I've seen American Horror Story. It gets the meat more tender. So you scare them, but then if they find a way to run away, even though you have superpowers, you catch them and you kill them. You don't keep trying to scare them. They're good. They're good at running. You like, if you saw the trailer for It, did you see where this old lady is obviously really the clown? When Jessica Chastain comes back to visit an old house.
Yeah.
Then the old lady starts running towards, obviously now evil, is being possessed and is running towards the Jessica Chastain about to eat her. Guess what happens? She ducks and runs away. Kill her! No more jokes! Clowns love jokes, but it's better to eat. Eat first.
He just wants it to make sense.
Yeah. Hello? 3 hours. You can make it make sense, right?
Is there a bonus? You stayed for the whole thing?
Yeah, I was with somebody.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I wonder who that is.
A mistress. I can't. Somebody. You can tell I was deliberately not saying, right?
I just don't, like, whenever you criticize a movie, both of you, it's like I want to assign you the homework to rewrite it. Like, how you would like it.
Right, okay.
Because I truly, like, never understand what your fucking problem is.
Well, you like it. You like anything, don't you?
No.
What's the last movie in a movie theater that you didn't like? Okay.
And you, I didn't movies. Really like Captain Marvel.
Okay.
I thought that was kind of dumb.
Okay, it's good to hear.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. She can fly, but you liked Hustlers. All right.
Yeah, I think a lot of.
Wait, did you like really like Hustlers?
Yes, Hamda, I liked the movie. Oh my God, it's a real movie. I really saw it and I liked it. Oh my God.
Did you expect when you left the theater they were giving the money back to everybody? Did you think you were on a reality show?
Yeah. And it.
People clapped at the start, at the end.
Well, they clapped at the end because it's like a plane ride.
Do you want to know why? No. Because they liked it.
No. Why would they clap in the beginning?
You expected that you'd be able to yell at the screen like it was Jackass. Did you try? Or did you get the vibe?
There wasn't a lot of material.
Right.
Cole got a couple good ones, and I'll give her that. It was mostly looking at Xerxes going,
huh? Can we smoke yet?
Yeah. And I never leave a theater. I'm like, all right.
Was it packed?
You know, I wouldn't say packed. It was full, but it's Friday night. At 7:50, I feel like that's movie going time. I wasn't like, holy shit, every seat is taken.
Right.
No. But there were sold out ones that we can go to with the recliner seats.
Yeah. So. Women were really into this movie. I saw on social media. I'd see, for example, Kieran Feehan tweeted out, my boyfriend got us tickets I'm so excited. He didn't know it's going to come with a free blowjob. Ha, ha, ha. Like, this isn't Madonna. You just buy a ticket and go. Like, this was an event.
Yeah.
I went by myself. So.
Right.
That tells you a little something about me.
You were right.
I ate a veggie burger during the show with tater tots.
How so?
They have food at this movie theater.
Yeah. Well, I would like to see.
What?
I got a couple glasses of wine. Okay. I thought you were in a seat and you had to watch it. All right. Bianca is the best. That is a fact. We always get to the bottom of it. Bianca on Twitter, Bianca L. Brady. The Instagram, Bianca_Brady. And she's the host of the podcast Whitey Puzzleman's Crossword Hour. She's also the host of Last Week on Keith and the Girl, the sixth Keith and the Girl show, the behind-the-scenes show. This new episode will go over the last 2 weeks. There is dirt, I promise. New to the show? New to VIP? Use coupon code DAD, D-A-D. Try it for free. KeithandtheGirl.com.